Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red Robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepy head, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, Robin comes bob, bobbing along.
Display and a result to please telly addicts around the globe. Victory over Pompey gives Charlton an 8-point cushion in the race for the playoffs. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here from the Valley on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me here in the studio as we get ready to look back at yesterday's superb 2-1 victory over Portsmouth are Mr. Terry Smith, who arrived here with exactly 15 seconds before I started playing the Robin, so that was quite impressive.
Smith is never late.
Yeah. I mean, you were literally late the last time you were
here.
That's true. But yeah, getting better.
Apart from the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't swear.
Exactly. I'm testing myself.
Yeah. And joining the pair of us here in the studio is a man who has sworn before, Nathan. Yes. Muller. How you doing, Nathan? You alright?
Yeah.
You got here like an hour early. So,
yeah, so yeah. I wasn't late and there wasn't a temptation to swear.
Yeah, so on average, everyone was here on time. But
off right. Early.
Yeah, on tonight's show, we're going to look back at that brilliant display in the 2-1 victory over Portsmouth. We're going to hear the commentary highlights from Terry and Greg on Valley Pass. We're also, of course, going to speak to the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer. And I mean, the show is pretty much open. Whatever you want to have your say on tonight as well, it's a fan show. And for that reason, he actually went and spoke to an actual real fan yesterday, Liam Anderson, outside the pub. We're going to talk to him, find out what he's made of the situation over the last few weeks. I might start doing that more often because Liam was really good. So just go and speak to actual fans rather than wasting my time with Nathan all the time.
Exactly.
And also, we're going to speak
outside random pubs, is basically.
Yeah. What's going on with your microphone, Tell? Is it on?
Yeah, it was working.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. It's all right, keep going. We're going to hear from a man called Jacko who comes, not the Jacko, but another man called Jacko who comes over from Holland to watch the Addicts as well. So, Nathan, just before we hear the highlights yesterday, that performance, the atmosphere inside the ground, sorting out the Sky TV curse as well. I mean, it was the perfect evening.
Yeah, it was. I just said off just before we went on, I thought that Pompey were poor. But and Tell said we didn't really let him play, which was true. But I think from start to finish, we were dominant. Joe Rebo, we, you know, was was unreal. Billick was, you know, to be fair, Jacket did say, didn't he, that the our midfield were very, very good, and I agree, and I think that's what won us the game. And also just nice to get, you know, scrappy goals like Taylor's one, something that we've missed in recent weeks, just to get the ball over the line sometimes. And but it did get to that stage, which we got on the highlights, where Igor made a good defending save for them. I thought, well, it's not going to be one of these ones, is it? But no, yeah, absolutely amazing, absolutely buzzing. It's probably likely we're going to get them again in the playoffs, but...
You never know, it's too early to say anything for certain in this time. Terry, I mean, it wouldn't be a traditional Charlton performance unless there was five, 10 minutes of squeaky bum time at the end. And I mean, there was that block from Patrick Bauer as well. I mean, it would have been a travesty if we hadn't won that game. All right, Terry, your mic's broken, so we're gonna have to sort that out during the highlights. Okay, so let's go straight into the highlights to listen to Valley Pass highlights with Terry. You'll actually get to hear his voice on these, and with Greg Stubby. These are the highlights of yesterday's 2-1 win over Portsmouth.
A big switch to the right hand side. Purrington read that, but didn't get the header there, and it's flicked on the second attempt into low into the penalty area. Bauer's in front of him, and he gets the block. Bauer, and it's away for a throw. Callum with the corner. From the Charlton left, ball into the box, Naby Sarr, and it's just flicked off Naby Sarr's head. Billick turns away superbly from Evans, finds Aribo again. Aribo, little touch to Williams. Williams out to Purrington. Purrington's going to use Williams again. Williams, little touch into Aribo, goes for the return, Williams, and he's in the box. Good move. A brass of goal! Kalanoi! Cleared off the line! I think that might have hit Vetticelli. Charlton with a glorious opportunity to score, and it hasn't come, but Billick now back on the ball.
Cullen swings it in, it's a decent looking delivery. Aribo! Free header.
Oh, Joe.
And heads over the bar.
Oh, what an opportunity. No, a free header. Absolute free header. Get it on target, it's a goal.
Williams gets across to left hand side to pick up the ball for Charlton. Williams, chip ball forward towards Taylor. It's over his head. Vetticelli picks it up on the edge of the box. Comes to Cullen with the shot.
And corner.
He's claiming a corner, Josh Cullen. He didn't execute it perfectly. Cullen is a little bit of a scuffed effort. But again, decent hold-up play from Vetticelli. And Cullen's effort was wide in the end and no corner. Billick. Switch across to left-hand side, and Perrington's a good one. Billick looks okay for the time being. Perrington looking to try and look to take on Thompson. Instead goes back inside to Cullen. Needs a little bit of support. He turns, works a bit of spacer across. Cullen, ball into the box, finds Aribo. Aribo! Aribo!
Yeah! One! Joe Aribo!
Joe Aribo with a lovely turn inside the penalty area. His shot went across the face of goal, and the Gilfrey didn't even go for any and it's past him and into the back of the net, and Charlton just before half time had the lead.
Oh, superb work again. Christian Billick at the heart of it, lovely turn combined with Josh Cullen, then got some space, found Purrington over on the left hand side, who gave it into Joe Aribo. He thought perhaps because the momentum stopped a little bit, but then the ball into Joe Aribo kept his run going by Josh Cullen into him. Turn was superb, and the strike away to McGilvery's left hand side is no way he was getting it. Cullen, what a beautiful spot to pick out Joe Aribo in the box. And the young man in front of the television cameras made no mistake.
Brown goes across to take the corner with Evans as well. Brown left-footed option, Evans right. It will be Lee Brown to take. Swings it into the six-yard box. It's a header for May.
No, come
and
on.
There's the equaliser. Far too soft. Portsmouth's only attempt on goal. A simple ball to the back post. Curtis jumps and Curtis scores.
Well, we said to try and keep it tight, and we left Curtis all on his own in the six-yard box. Free header.
It's far too soft from a Charlton perspective, who up until that point have been excellent in that first 45 minutes. As Charlton get the game back underway. Comes to the edge of the box and Thompson. Thompson further right is low. Low inside the penalty area. Go for goal.
It's got to be offside.
It's an offside.
Has to be offside.
It did look offside as Curtis ran forward. I don't know if he needed to touch that.
I don't think he was in the right position, the linesman, but he had to be offside.
Sarr with the ball forward towards Vetticelli. It's actually Evans who's off the pitch momentarily for Portsmouth. Vetticelli on the left-hand side. Thinks about a cross. He's been held up by Burgess. Ball inside, finds Aribo. Aribo, early cross, comes towards Reece. Can he get on the end of it? Reece across to Taylor!
Yes! Come on!
John will make it two! Lyle Taylor getting the goal that he wanted. Great endeavour from Ben Reece.
just to stay with the ball and just toe poke it in the way of Lyle Taylor, who had an open goal and couldn't miss, and Charlton restore their lead.
Oh, it's a perfect start in the second half for the Addicts. Portsmouth down to 10 men.
Come on!
But great work from Igor Vetticelli to make the run into the corner, to hold the ball up. He didn't just blind panic, hitting the ball into the box. He waited for the perfect opportunity to deliver it, and did so into Ben Reeves, who got lucky with a slight deflection and poked it towards goal, and Taylor there to finish off the job. It dropped to Reeves. Reeves' first touch takes him wide right. Still on it though, into the corner. Goes back on his left foot. Is he going to get a cross in? No, trying to go back on his right, but now the left foot cross comes in towards Taylor. The far post, touch the bar, takes a shot. Oh, saved away to the left-hand side. And then Taylor, in his attempt to get there, just lunges a little bit at Thompson, and Portsmouth have a free kick. Brown picks his pocket, goes right to Pittman. Looks up, thinks about a shot. Pittman instead crosses across. Lowe's there. Oh, and how did he miss that? It's back across the goal. Curtis can't get there, and it's away for a goal kick.
Well, what an opportunity. The ball in from Pittman was exquisite. And Lowe looked all the world. They had so much time and could get on the end of it. Just got his connection all wrong. I think he got caught into two minds whether to go for goal or find Curtis. In the end, did neither. And it goes wide. But what a let off for Charlton.
Four minutes of added time here at the Valley. Prattley over there. It's a ball released on the left hand side of Brown. Back across. It's in the low. What a block by Patrick Bauer. Falls to Pittman. Another block this time by Purrington. Headed up in the air. Aribo away. Prattley can't get there. Reeves away. Cullen away. And now can it go to Fosu? Yes, it can. Oh, it's a foul by Naylor, and Charlton have a free kick, and it should be a booking for Naylor.
What a block by Patrick Bauer. He's getting all the applause, and rightly so. It's a fantastic last ditch block. Ball into the box, came to Lowe, got it out of his feet, and I just thought it was a goal.
He's got to be offside. Yes, he is. Oh, he's offside. And that is the final whistle.
Come on!
Charlton have won.
Come on!
After a desperate last few minutes, Charlton secured a 3 points.
So there we go, the highlights of yesterday's win over Portsmouth, and a brilliant result, and brilliant commentary as well from the lads there. Great to relive it, because obviously it was a massive, massive win for the Addicts, and such a strong performance as well. Right now, hopefully we can welcome Terry. Terry, yes, there we
it
go.
Works. There we are.
Yeah, so Terry, I mean, the performance as a whole, I mean, as I said, apart from that last 10 minutes where it got a little bit nervy, and maybe after the first 5 minutes as well, it was such a strong display from the lads.
It was a great day, wasn't it? I mean, from start to finish. The fact that we were on the TV is normally a hoodoo for us. We put that to bed. It was red, white and black day, so you had justifiable reasons to be proud of the club. And then we go and put in a performance like that against a top six rival, you know, and somebody who Nathan says we might meet again, who knows. But it sends a statement out there that we are a good side, and we can put in a result in against any of that top six, I think. And that, I think more than anything, assuming we do get there, and let's not count our chickens, but assuming we do get into that into the playoffs, then it means that anybody facing us will just have that in the back of their minds that we can put in a performance like that.
Because I think the last 2 weeks have been really important for us as a club. When you think about, you know, we had this situation where Carl and Grant moved on, and it knocked us back clearly in terms of performances and results. You know, we went a few without a win, four games without a win, I think it was. And to now, over the last 2 weeks, go to Doncaster and, I was going to say, match, and we outplayed them really for long spells there, and to then do the same against a Portsmouth side yesterday who probably will finish in the playoffs. Doncaster, obviously, it's up for grabs between them and Peterborough and us if we get dragged back into it. To put in those displays against teams that are there or thereabouts in terms of that end of the season, because I think if you look back last season, I remember at one point we were really struggling against the teams we would actually play in the top six if and when we got to the playoffs. You think about the home game against Shrewsbury, you know, there were a lot of games last season where we struggled, but this year we're putting in displays that will make the other sides that we could face in those playoffs stand up and take notice.
Yeah, what I always tend to do is whenever we play, I always look at I go on Twitter and look at the other same sort of fans' views, and I mean, Pompey yesterday was saying that we looked very good. Donny last week, I was in the pub waiting to go home, and they were saying we were the best team to go there in football wise. And like you say, considering Carlin's gone, I think if as long as we as long as we stay, you know, composed in front of goal, we're always going to create chance with that midfield. I mean, every single one of those midfielders yesterday was unreal. And I'd, even Sunderland to an extent. I mean, I know it's the first game of the season, but we didn't roll over. So I think, yeah, like, I agree. I think there's a lot of teams in there won't be wanting to play Charlton in those players if we do end up there, for sure. But which is a good thing. But obviously, I know we'll all stay humble and it's going to be tricky. But it's always a nice thing to get one over, that, like you said, the last 2 weeks. Two difficult teams, you know, they're not bottom of the league. And we've, to be fair, that probably deserved more at Donny, maybe. But, yeah, no, good start, and it keeps us in good stead.
The way the games were transpired, other than, like I say, the opening 5 minutes or so where Jamal Lowe had that opportunity that was well blocked by Bauer, which turned into a bit of a recurring theme, actually, as the evening went on, of course, because we saw that again in injury time. I mean, it was quite clear that from that first 5 minutes, we were just controlling play. And maybe it took us up until 20 minutes to get our first real sight of goal, which Igor accidentally got in the way of. But you could tell we were turning the screw and putting the pressure under a team. And, you know, there were times in the first half of the season when Carlin was still here that we, even against, you know, the likes of Barnsley, who came to the Valley, we'd be quite happy to try and soak it up a bit and then try and hit him on the counter, whereas it was a different style of play for us. We were just dominating possession, just trying to play it in and around the final third and just being patient and waiting for our chances.
Well, we have to play in a different style now without Colin Grant. We have to adapt. And although we keep the same shape, generally speaking, the diamond, we can't do that lightning break stuff that we did when Carlin was here. Eagle's not no slouch, by the way, but he certainly hasn't got the pace of Carlin Grant. So we have to play differently, and the midfield has to step up. I mean, Joe Ribo, everybody's raving about him, and quite rightly so. But strangely, I thought in the first half, Christian Billick was outstanding. Mm. And I think had he stayed on the pitch in the second half, he probably would have nicked the man of the match if he'd have put in the same shift. But Joe was... Joe has got that sort of strange style about him at the moment. He's sort of a languid style, you know. He doesn't. He's not a box to box midfield player. You know, you don't look at him like a whippet running around. But he's just got that ability to do stuff with the football, and especially when it's at his feet. Other players trying to get it off him, the opposition, and he just he can jink past two or three, and it just opens teams up, and they don't know how to play him.
It's funny, I remember before Christmas and, you know, people enjoyed Joe Aribo's performances in the run-up to Christmas, but I don't think he was quite getting the plaudits that he is now. But then it was so noticeable when he was out. If you think about that away game at Barnsley and the away game at Coventry over Christmas, and we had Prattley in the midfield. And, you know, Prattley has a role to play and certainly can play it well when he is needed, but he cannot fill the same role that Joe Aribo can. We need someone who can play the ball on the floor. There was something I saw yesterday. I don't know if I've noticed it that much as well from Aribo, the amount of times he won possession when Pompey had it. Correct. In the middle of the park as well. But yeah, it was so clear over Christmas that we were missing him, and since he's come back, I mean, our only midfielder that scores any amount of goals as well. But he's so vital yesterday, and in front of the Sky cameras, and with his contract coming to an end.
Yeah, that was good, eh?
Yeah, at the end of this season. I imagine about 80% of the Sky viewers be thinking about signing him, even if they're not football people. They're just like, oh, he'd be useful around the house.
Yeah, I don't know what for, but he's just got legs that seem to stick out everywhere, doesn't he? And he, as I say, he's got that language style, and you think he looks at times a little bit ungainly. But he's able to do stuff with the football that is just mesmeric. And as you say, he does offer the threat in the penalty area, as was shown yesterday. It was a lovely finish. And it at times, they have the opposition have to put two or three players near him. And that takes, you know, and he still holds the ball up and he still manages to play other people in. And it leaves gaps. And as I say, we need somebody to open up the opposition. And he's probably the best exponent we've got of that.
And obviously, like, as you said, the performances of the likes of Christian Billick in that first half, Josh Cullen when he went to the defensive midfield in the second half after Billick went off injured, just gives him that free licence to go ahead and do what he needs to do. The quality of the goal. I mean, it's one of those ones where he makes it look easy, but that's not an easy chance because the ball's sort of fizzed in from Josh Cullen. Probably not even the most easy height to control, slightly off the floor, so he had to bring that down with men around him. But to turn and to get that shot away under pressure and know where the goalkeeper is and to arrow it into the far corner. I mean, that was a brilliant finish from Joe Aribo there.
Yeah, and I mean, like Joe said, Billick was man of the match. I think he started it. I think he was in a tight area and done one of his Cruyff turns, didn't he, and then switched to play. But that ball from Cullen, it's so difficult because it's an in-swinger. It's so difficult to defend. unless someone's in front of Joe. And obviously they got him on the wrong side. And yeah, even though it was a great touch, and yeah, he still had it a lot to do. It wasn't centre of the goal. We still had to play it across the goalie. And but yeah, that's what we've missed, those goals. I mean, how many? What's that? He's sixth or seventh, is it?
Six, I think. Yeah.
So yeah, and I think that's what we've missed. We've missed something different in and around the box. And it was a great little finish. And obviously, just to match his performance, he was unreal.
I was pleased that it wasn't a Charlton shirt trying to get a block in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, because that was our best opening before that goal. And yeah, a good run down the wing again from Johnny Williams. Squared it to Cullen. This is about 20 minutes in, and we've had all this possession, still waiting for that clear-cut chance. You see it rolling to Cullen, pretty much on the penalty spot, maybe slightly further forward. The goalkeeper's beaten, and you just can't work out how it hasn't gone in. And then you saw Igor sort of gingerly walking away, saying, oh, sorry about that. I mean, you'd argue that Cullen really should have seen the bodies in front of him and just stuck it into that bottom corner. So you feel so bad for Igor, because no one would be kicking themselves more after getting in the way of someone's shot like that. And it just had that little fear in the back of your mind when that happened. It's like, oh, God, we're dominating possession. So far, we're yet to score, and we've been struggling to score goals recently, and we've been doing stupid things in front of goal, and that's another one.
Well, Lapsley did it at Wimbledon, didn't he, in front of Lyle Taylor, so yeah. It's becoming a theme. So it looks like we're... I think it must be something they do in training, just throw yourself in front of the football, yeah. and sometimes you just don't realise that you're in the opposition's penalty area at the time.
What are you supposed to do?
I'm guessing, judging by the fact that we have put in some pretty clever blocks at the right end, you know, like we say, Patrick Bauer we saw yesterday, maybe the whole team just has a shift, right, just imagine the last 10 minutes of the game, put your bodies on the line sort of blocks, and they just forget which way they're going, maybe.
They just line up and Bowyer just pelts balls. They've just got to block it with everything they can.
That sounds like the sort of thing he'd do, to be fair. After all that domination in that first half, we finally get our noses in front, you think, and I watched back the Sky coverage when we got home, and I think it was Don Goodman, the co-commentator, said Portsmouth will be desperate to get in at 1-0 now, and it had that feeling about it, and then Portsmouth win pretty much, what was it, their first or second corner, and it comes over, and yeah, disappointing defending, wasn't it, and a free header at that far post. I think Purrington was the man who lost his player, and yeah, Curtis with a header.
Yeah, it was disappointing, I think, because we were in the ascendancy. I think we were playing a better football. They didn't really create much. They only sort of had that one outlet, which was Hawkins up front, and they weren't sort of getting any sort of knockdown. So, yeah, going in at 1-0, it was just a bit of a sucker punch, really, and I was just a bit concerned on you know, the cliche is, you know, when you go, if you score before half-time, it's a lot more difficult to come out with. And I was fearing the second half a little bit. But then I thought, no, they've not really created much. We've got the upper hand. I think if we keep calm, we'll do all right. But it's a good little header from the lad, to be fair.
Ronan Curtis.
He was giving it a little bit to the fans, I must admit.
Yeah, I wonder if he stopped
doing
that.
Didn't quite get that, yeah. If
well,
I'm honest.
I've always said if I was a footballer, I imagine I'd do that every game. It's a way to rub
the fans
up. Like a Robbie Savage character. Although it does come back to bite you on the backside, exactly, when you have a goal ruled out for offside. And then go on to lose the game, and there was quite a funny shot of him banging the floor near the end of the game. So important that you start that second half well, and as we said, there was that goal from Curtis, got a touch off Jamal Lowe's shot, clearly offside at the time, even though we had Premier League officials yesterday. I imagine a League One official would have spotted that anyway, and we go almost immediately down the other end. And now I have to give some credit to Ben Reeves that I didn't give to him in the stadium yesterday, because I didn't realise that when he had his chance, I thought he had a shot at goal and it got blocked and it just rebounded to Taylor, but it was actually done so well just to get his head up and see that Taylor was unmarked in the middle there.
Yeah, a little toe poke after the initial shot was blocked. He stayed alive, stayed alert, and managed to get a foot in. Now, of course, that foot, you know, that touch could have gone anywhere, but it went straight at Lyle Taylor, which, and he'd been desperate for that. And I mean, I spoke to him yesterday, and people will say he hasn't scored for however many.
2 months.
2 months, yeah, it is. But I mean, he didn't play for four of those, did he? So, three games, wasn't it? Yeah. So, it doesn't feel as mad, but desperate to get a goal, and really pleased for him, because he put a shift in. Well, they all did, but he really put a shift in up top.
Yeah, you could tell how much it meant to him. There was some great celebrations from Lyle Taylor. As you say, we spoke to him yesterday. It was four or five games without a goal. I think his first goal in five games. But as you said, because it spread over 2 months, it does feel like a perhaps it would be a little bit of a monkey on his back, especially since it's the first goal he's got since Carlin's left. You know, in terms of the strike partnership, I've noticed a few little bits between him and Igor. Igor's movement's been pretty good over the last two games, which could just be. I mean, he's never going to be as good as Carlin, if we're being totally honest, Igor. But if he can just be that little bit of a foil for Lyle Taylor, then that could again stand us in good stead for the rest of this season. Because, you know, a month ago, when Carlin had just left and we go on this little bit of a winless run, I mean, everyone's really worried. But now just things are starting to click back into place. I mean, you can see it with the celebrations at the end there. I don't think anyone was any way nervous about how the rest of the season's going to go. But just these signs that things are sort of back on track now. And, you know, even with that 8-point cushion, we've got enough leeway to screw it up majorly if we want to for a while anyway.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, when Igor came in, you know, you could tell he was a player, and he was brilliant when he first came on the scene, and he's just not had the luck of injuries, and he just needs games. There was some, like you say, his movement's good. His hold-up play could have been a little bit better, but I think yesterday he nearly gave the ball away late on because he looked absolutely shattered when I think they nearly scored from it. But I think the more games he gets, yeah, I think him and Lyle will form a partnership. But yeah, he's not going to be a Carlin. They're two different players. But
it'll all come down to what threat he poses, because with Carlin there, he was offering goals, and so defences were having to mark both of them, Taylor and Carlin. Right. So when Carlin got the ball, more often than not, Taylor was being able to find space because the attention was on Carlin because he had a goal threat about him, and vice versa. And so defences weren't quite sure who to pick up, and you can't double up on both of them, if you know what I mean. So that allows the other one to get space. And it happened a little bit more yesterday than it has done for a while. As you say, I just think that they're just beginning to strike up something. Hopefully, Igor away with a few goals as well, which will take the pressure off Lyle, of course.
Yeah, and the midfielders as well, which we saw yesterday with Joe Riva. I mean, Patrick Bowen nearly had one as well, didn't I? By a really good save from McGilvray, or whatever his name was. But yeah, as we said, last 10 minutes, you're going into sort of nervous territory, as you always would. Pratley's come on just to try and shore things up. We've gone a little bit more defensive, which was the plan, to try and hold on to what we had. And we just had one particularly, or two hairy moments. That long ball over the top, the angled cross where Jamal Lowe just tickled it towards the far post, and there was a man running in as well who couldn't quite get there, so perhaps a bit of a let off there. The other one where Lowe found the ball at his feet. Lowe probably their most dangerous player, actually. Yeah, every time they seem to have a sight of goal, it seems to come through him. And as we say, a massive block from Patrick Bauer. And then eventually we see out the added time. He seemed to play a little bit more than he needed to, which is a complaint I've had for the last couple of weeks now. But yeah, we saw it out. And I mean, those celebrations on the Valley pitch, I mean, Lee Bowyer running down to make sure he was involved with them as well.
He got there quick, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it's straight at full time he went down. I think I know which way he went. I reckon he went down through the Vista Lounge. Oh, this isn't important at all. But yeah, he got down there quick. Celebrated with everyone on the pitch, and there's some great videos going around of the covered end and the whole stadium, to be fair, at full time yesterday, singing the lads off. And again, it just felt like one of those really special moments that we're almost getting a little bit accustomed to over the last few weeks, over the last few months here at the Valley.
Yeah, like you say, it got a bit hairy towards the end, and it was a big relief because we, you know, yeah, it was on telly, it was under the lights, but we'd be a good, you know, a team who are in the top six, and we're playing well at the moment. And it's not like we got a last minute penalty. We played really, really, really well throughout and deserved the win. So it was nice scenes at the end, and we're doing good at the moment. It looks like we're riding on this little crest of a wave, which I don't really want to stop, because I think I can't remember the stat they put out, but like the last our home form this year has been absolutely incredible.
We're 12 games unbeaten at the Valley now. The last two games were draws here, which, funnily enough, I mean, so by winning yesterday, we've now won 11 home games this season, which is the same amount as last season. And that was a good season last season, but we only won 11 times at home. So now, and we could have done that in early February, but we have now matched it in March, and it just shows how strong we are at home. I think they said in that 12 we've never conceded more than one at home, which is again an incredible record. And it just makes it so much it takes the pressure a little bit off your away form as well, when you can play that well at home and be so strong, which is always good to see. Now, of course, that opens up, we had the good news before the game started of the results of Doncaster and Peterborough Donny getting beaten at Wimbledon, Peterborough getting beaten at Bradford City. So, I mean, that gave us... So we knew minimum at the end of the day we'd still have our five-point gap. I mean, do you think that affects the mentality, Tell? Do you think that sort of, in a way, takes a little bit of pressure off?
I think so, although, to be fair, judging by what... Lubowia said afterwards, and you'll hear it in a bit, they obviously had a game plan for Portsmouth. One of that being that Portsmouth are a physical side, so you've got to compete, you've got to battle, you've got to win the tussles and the battles all across the pitch. So they clearly had a game plan for the match. Yes, of course, if you're looking at the results, it takes the pressure off. There's no must win against the game when if somebody's only 2 points behind you rather than five. So I'm sure they'll take one look at it and it does sort of ease the pressure a little bit. But I think by the sounds of it and by the sounds of what Lee Bow said, we would have put in that sort of performance anyway.
Right, let's have a listen, I think, to Lee Bowyer. He came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's game. Don't forget, you can have your say as well. Before we go into that, I've got a good tweet from Dan Farmer, which I'll need to explain, so I'll do that in a bit. But yeah, you can have your say, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to let us know what you made of yesterday's win. So Lee Bowyer came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's game, and of course he was absolutely delighted with his side's performance.
Yeah, it's been a great day all round. Results went our way for a change before kickoff, and to get a performance like that. Do you know, all week though, I've known that this is what, like, we're going to put this type of performance in. I knew it because we haven't been playing bad, and I knew the atmosphere and everything that the lads would grab it. Just been drumming into them all week. Like, you have to compete. You have to compete. It's going to be physical. You have to, because if you don't, you lose. It's that simple. That's what Portsmouth do. They just run over the top of teams. They're so powerful. They're full of men, and they've got people that can hurt you. So I've been drumming that into them, and I said, like, we have to play. When we get the ball, we have to do what we're good at and move the ball quick. And I thought they found it tough to get close to us at times when we had the ball. And from the first goal, I think 10-15 passes, scored a great goal. Could see from the set play, Portsmouth are very good at set pieces, which was frustrating because we've been great on that side of things. And then I thought we deserved it, the chances we created, first half and second half. I thought we probably deserved 3 points.
Did you need to pick them up at that half-time break? I mean, the domination in that first half, the goal that came was justifiable because of the way we were playing. And even after Lyle Taylor's effort, so I'd come off the back of Igor Josh Gunn's effort, off the back of Igor and not go in. We needed that goal. To concede so quickly afterwards, did you have to pick them up, or was the dressing room still okay?
No, dressing room was fine. I just said, look, the only way that they're strong at set pieces, and for me, the way that first half went, that the only way they was going to score was from a set piece. I can't remember Dylan having too much to do other than pick the ball out of his net. So I said to him, look, just keep doing what you're doing, but they're going to come at us stronger, and we have to be ready for that. But just keep doing it. Just keep passing the ball. You have to compete, but then pass the ball, and you will create more chances. And we've done that. And again, I thought we could have had another two or three. Just took a little bit more care. But yeah, it's for me, I thought we was outstanding from start to finish. Their attitude and their fighting togetherness. The crowd just as soon as they walked out, you can tell, like, the crowd's just on them and just got us going. And like, it's like, yeah, here we go. I knew it was going to be like this.
And losing Christian Billick at half-time, who'd had a great first half, was a setback, but not a setback that affected us too much. Josh Cullen dropped in there, and it was quite seamless.
Yeah. I have to say, I think that's the best 45 minutes Christian's had since he's been here. He's been getting stronger and stronger, and he's been taking less touches on the ball, moving it quick. And I think he's come on so much in that position. And obviously losing him was disappointing, because he gives us that physical presence as well.
Do you know how bad yet?
No, don't know how bad yet. No, we'll know more. Tomorrow, I'll have more of an idea tomorrow. but Josh, you've got Josh Cullen that can sit in there and do a great job as well. So, yeah, disappointed to lose Christian, but sorry, but yeah, but I thought Josh letting it in there well.
Lyle Taylor has been, I wouldn't say starved, probably not the right word, but has not got the goal that perhaps he's deserved in some games. But, of course, he was out for a few for suspension. But he must have been delighted to get back on the score sheet. It was a scruffy one, but they all count.
Yeah, and hopefully now he'll go on another little run and of getting goals. So, as a forward, I've said it before, I believe you get rewarded for hard work. And you have to keep gambling and closing down. And then because what you do is you close someone down and all of a sudden something affords you where you shouldn't really be. Boom, goal. And that's what happened with Lowell today. He worked very, very hard out of possession and he got rewarded for his hard work. For me, chance inside a six-yard box, you don't get many of them.
So. An indication of that though, as well, not just his goal, but just after, or as we were getting towards the end of the game, it was in added time. It was Lyle. It was stopping two crosses coming in from the big centre half that could have caused us problems. And so even though the booking might be in the back of his mind and not to get one, he's still putting his body on the line, as everybody did, to be fair.
Yeah, and that's what we do. You know, we have this squad of players, and I know I keep saying it, but we have a squad of players that keep going and they keep fighting, you know, and they know the importance and they know the situation we're in. I tell them all the time, like, you don't realise we're so close. And our objective is to get promotion. Like, that's it. We're here to get promotion. And whatever way we have to do it, we have to give it our best shot. And every time we walk onto the training pitch, like, I tell them, you know, like, this is, you have to do it right. And the same on the pitch on the Saturday. So, but to me, like, the way they all fight and the crowd are singing, and it just puts a big smile on my face.
It's a magical place to be, the Valley, when it's rocking like that, and hopefully it won't be the last time this season. Second game in a row against the top six side, should have probably won away to Doncaster, didn't quite do it. So was today, I wouldn't say vital is probably not the right word, but was today really important to give the momentum going into the last 10?
Yeah, I think every game's going to be important from now on in. But the good thing is we've put more of a cushion there between the sides below us and closed the gap to two from Portsmouth. Not so long ago, they was, 10, 12 in front of us in the top two spots, and then now we're only two behind them, and that's nothing, that's just one win. So yeah, just shows you how hard working we are and how well we're doing. As a side.
Another injury, Johnny Williams having to come off. How serious is that? Do we know yet? Or what was it?
Not a hamstring as well. Two tight hamstrings. Don't know the seriousness. Obviously, the same. We'll have more of an idea.
Unlikely for Tuesday though. They come thicker fast.
Yeah. I think he'll struggle for Tuesday for sure. Yeah.
Today, as I said, the Valley was rocking. The performance probably one of the better ones, if not the best one that we've had here for a while, against a top six opposition. Red, white, and black day as well. Today's probably what it means to be a Charlton fan and a Charlton player and a Charlton manager. You're doing your contract talks. You've already said you love the club, and it's days like this that round that home, isn't it?
Yeah. Everything's just going well at the moment, you know. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's a big philosophy of mine. And so I just want to keep running with what's going and see where it takes us. And obviously regarding the contract, this hopefully we come to an agreement. Don't know when that'll happen. But so, yeah, everything's good at the moment, but still a long way to go, 10 games to go. If you think when I took over this time last year, it was 10 games to go and a lot of changes happened for the good for us. So we've got 10 to go and never know this. Some more changes could happen in a good way for us between now and the end of the season.
A lot of tired bodies in there, I guess. And we've got a game on Tuesday. It's a case of managing who's about and who's fit and they're ready to put a shift in again.
They all want to play. They all want to play, even people that are on the bench and people that haven't made the squad. Every footballer wants to play football. So we've got a good, great team spirit, and And if someone has to drop out, then someone comes in. Like, that's football. That's the way it goes. And so I'm sure I'll have people trying to impress tomorrow morning because they realise that there might be one or two spots that come free now. So, which is good for me. So, not that I've lost players, but I'm going to have people that want to fight for a place in the starting 11 on Tuesday.
Momentum has been with Charlton. They've really played well this.
Oh, it's a quickly taken corner into Williams in the penalty area. Chip ball back across. Headed clear. Only as far as Saar gets something on it. So does Vedekele. Oh, cleared away. Maybe Saar again.
Yes! Come on!
This time it was Vedekele. He got Vedekele's header. I don't know who it came off in the end. Deflected in. It might have been Williams. I've no idea who that came off last. But it over the outstretched hand of Ramsdale. But it was Vedekele's header. John McEwen up for the dropping ball, but it took a deflection off of somebody, and it's in the back of the net.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Looking back at yesterday's superb 2-1 victory over Pompey here at the Valley. Just heard there from the Addicts boss. Lee Bowe, you can have your say as well. Email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. And if you want to look forward to the Burton game as well, let us know what you'd line up with, if there's any changes you'd made. Obviously, with the possibility now, Tell, it sounds like. Both Johnny Williams and Christian Billick came off with tight hamstrings. Obviously, it was too early to tell at full time yesterday, but you'd think with a tight hamstring, it'd make them very doubtful for Tuesday.
There's no way you'd risk them, even if they were the fit to play. I think hamstring injuries are horrible things, and so if it's just a little tight, they're not going to risk a tear or a snap or anything like that in a game. So I think both of those won't make it, even if they're able to. I think they'll give them a rest.
Yeah, it's interesting that Billick did try and play on, because of course he first went down maybe sort of 10 minutes before half time, came back on, did a wonderful bit of skill as well, actually, in the build up to the goal, but it was withdrawn at half time. You would argue we've got ready-made replacements for both. In Cullen can drop deep, Reeves can come into the midfield, so you'd think there would be, and then Prattley could of course replace Cullen, or someone else could go into that middle of the park. So there are replacements there if needs be. What did you make of Johnny Williams yesterday, Nath? Because obviously we've been talking about him quite a few times over the last few weeks, and I'd just argue that he is starting now to lay more chances onto a plate. We saw that one that Cullen had, that hit Aribo. He was involved with a couple last week at Doncaster as well.
Yeah, I think he's starting to show himself a little bit more now. I think no one can fault his effort or anything like that. But for someone in that sort of number 10 role, you're going to need goals or assists to be quite effective. And I thought he had a good game. I thought he was creating. He came out wide. Yeah, like I said, cross one in. Disappointed for him, because he's just started showing it. But yeah, like you said, we've got ready-made replacements, but hopefully it's not too long, because he can drive with the ball. You know, he is good. He's very, very intelligent. We do need him in the side. So hopefully it's just a slight strain and not a... And like Tell said, there's no point risking him.
If it's a strain, it's 2 weeks. If they snap it, then you're out for the season, the rest of the season. So it's not worth the risk.
No, of course not. Obviously, you mentioned Bayer there about his contract. He said during the week that someone representing the owner had implied that at some point they're going to offer him a contract, which was as vague as it could get. But it sounds like Livin de Turk has probably said, well, we might give you a contract at some point when one of us gets around to it. I mean, obviously, it's still a slightly strange situation that it's been allowed to run on this long in any stretch of the imagination. But, I mean, we're desperate for some sort of consistency here at the club, I mean, and it'd be madness to not get him signed up as soon as possible.
You know, you've got to be fair to him. I mean, they've got fairy tales to make up. They've got ridiculous prices to reject. So, you know, their time's busy. So, you know, obviously the contract is a bit further down the list of more important things.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that 2% of Roland's time that he does concentrate on the club, as you say, is very busy. Demanding that the EFL acquire the club. It's some interesting takeover news yesterday as well, which obviously we saw the bit in the Standard, and actually lines up with that £35 million bid that I mentioned on the show about 2 weeks ago. And Rick's...
Are you claiming this is a scoop?
No, not remotely, because I'm sure Rick knew about it before I did. I just said, oh, someone's told me something. But I was reading the Voice of the Valley today, sitting down to have a proper read of it, and he implied that Roland has pretty much just ignored this bid anyway. So, and also that this bid would have happily paid off the £7 million worth of loans to former directors. So, I mean, this is the best bid you're going to get, Roland. So, I can't understand why anyone's willing to pay that much, to be honest. But, I mean, it's crazy that he'd be turning that down. And I mean,
you can't use understand and Roland de Châtelet in the same sentence. It's just not
UEFA's
possible.
Next. We have done EFL.
Yeah.
UEFA next. If not, FIFA.
FIFA.
If not, the Queen. And then he'll keep
the Queen's
going.
A good shout.
Yeah. Never know. He'll probably would write a letter to her.
We're near the Royal Borough of Greenwich.
Exactly, yeah. She's already bought the borough. She might as well buy the football club.
Yeah, that's exactly what he'll say.
Right.
He'll demand.
Well, there we go. Right. Shall we have a look at some of the... Because the only thing is, I mean, I know we're enjoying the run again, and we have talked about the contract situation and what's to come at the end of this year, but there is still... This is a very nice distraction, isn't it, to what's... What's bubbling under the surface and always has been. I'll tell you what, just tell a little personal story. My right shoulder dislocates every couple of years, and I did it today while I was on the sofa.
Is that to get you out of those sort of straitjackets?
No, but it just reminded me of... I'm just sitting there thinking, oh, shoulder's fine, but I'm always worried just under the surface it's going to pop out, and it did it today. It was out for about 5 minutes. I have to put it back in myself. Ooh. And that's exactly what Charlton's transfer policy seems to be. It's just waiting for a disaster to happen, and all of a sudden... Charlton's right arm's going to fall off for about 5 minutes, and we're going to be stuck again at the start of next season.
We are teetering on the edge, and we have been for how long? I don't know. It seems like an eternity. And it is the only distraction. I mean, if it wasn't for Lee Bowyer, Johnny Jackson, Steve Gallen, and the football players, and the fans, by the way... We'd be mammothly depressed more than we are at times now.
I retweeted someone talking about a YouTube video earlier, but I'm sure there's plenty of videos going around of the atmosphere at full time yesterday. It's just one of those ones where you just wish that everyone was here for it, and you understand fully the reasons why not, and you agree with them in many ways. But you just want the Charlton family to be back together, and obviously there's only one way that's going to happen.
Every single fan that isn't here wants to be here.
Yeah, look at Blackpool yesterday as well. Yeah. I mean, what a moment for them getting that last minute equaliser. I'm afraid a few of them are going to have to be banned now for running on the pitch. But yeah, one day that'll be us, and something I look forward to. Right, don't forget, on tonight's show, we're also going to hear from Liam Anderson. I spoke to him outside the pub yesterday. I got given like a brief from BBC. They wanted a real Charlton fan. They also wanted a young Charlton fan. So it left me in a bit of a sticky situation.
You got 50% of it then.
Yeah. So I was going to say, how do I go around to random young people and say, oh, can I speak to you, please?
You've got in trouble with that before.
Yeah. So I went to the Royal Oak pub, where we know that the right side of the covered end likes to drink, that little group down there. I was actually after Bill, because I know he's quite a young fellow as well. So I went in, made an absolute idiot of myself, saying, he's quite young, isn't he? Is he here? And everyone's looked at me, especially Dan Farmer, who said I was calling him old. Well, so that wasn't the implication.
I think it was, mate.
Liam was there.
This is the reason he's dislocated his shoulder.
Liam was there and he spoke really well. So we're going to hear from him later on the situation at the club as a whole. But I want to get onto the tweets about yesterday's performance. And the first one comes in from Tony out in Spain. He said, I have so much to say about the game. And he said it was absolutely fantastic. He said, sorry to me for not liking my tweets today, but he actually finally got to see a game on the TV. Bilic, Sarr, Cullen, Bauer and Aribo were immense today. And that's again, that's why it was one of the reasons it was a nice one yesterday, is because you know there'll be so many people around the globe, or even, you know, people in the UK who are boycotting at the moment, who won't get to see us play that much, who actually got to see a performance and actually got to enjoy it properly. And you know, I feel so pleased for everyone who perhaps doesn't get to see us as much, that they got to see that.
Yeah, I said earlier, there are a couple of mates of mine who are support Premiership teams like Southampton and Spurs and West Ham, and they said that we did play really well. And it goes on to the fact what you said about Joe Aribo and being out of contract and being on Sky, and they certainly set up and noticed him. So, which is a bad thing, but in a good thing as well. But yeah, no, it was nice to spend, like you said, about the people who are staying away at the moment. It's nice to see a game we've watched us play really well, because our hoodoo is finally over.
Yeah, and exactly. Susie Stevens is suggesting a Charlton versus Sunderland playoff final at Wembley. It'll be 21 years by the time it happens. I mean, they'll be gagging to get some payback, won't they? Although, again, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Now, Rob Waghorn says, I won't be surprised if Bowyer sits in the stands regularly now. It can make him an even better manager, I think. Curbs always watched a lot of the game from the director's box, and he always did. And Bowyer seems to quite enjoy it. He gets to sit next to Brett Shaw, his analyst, so he gets more stats and able to look at replays, see what goes wrong, that sort of stuff. I mean, you'd argue it's an advantage. It's a weird punishment. I mean, the FA have to do something to punish people, and they have to be seen to do something. But at the same time, it's a punishment that a lot of managers will happily accept, because they quite like watching it from up there anyway.
Well, and they can still communicate to the bench. So you think if it's a proper punishment, they would stop them doing it, wouldn't you? But they clearly don't. It's a different perspective up there. I mean, we sit roughly in the same place as Bowyer was sitting yesterday, and up high you get to see much more of the movement of players than you would do at pitch level. As a match, so it gives him a different perspective. Whether or not he ends up liking it is something we probably have to ask next time I interview him. I think I'll ask him whether he'll once the touchline ban is finished, which is after Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whether he'll still carry on sitting up there.
I think he'd be tempted to. I think
especially if he keeps winning.
Yeah, as Rob said, there is something that Curbs used to do. There's loads of videos. You often see Curbs coming down the steps from the director's box when he was there yesterday as well. Actually, maybe he was pretending he was managing, because he was still in the director's box. Right, Greg Driscoll tweeted in, to a man, they all played their part, but Bilic and Aribo were a cut above. Would fancy us against any of the others up there in the playoffs if we keep our squad fit. Only negative was changing the formation after going one up for a second week running. We should have learnt from last week. I mean, with Prattley coming on and going slightly more defensive, and Taylor mentioned it as well, that we when we spoke to him yesterday, we decided to hold on to what we had. I mean, it's not like we didn't go for a killer third goal, but in that last 5-10 minutes or so, we did invite a little bit of pressure on. I mean, we dealt with it eventually. It did take a last-ditch block or two, but
I think that's fair. But I also think you've got to bear in mind the way Portsmouth played, and they would have, you know, they just started lumping balls up to the top, and Pittman was playing quite deep and trying to get on the end of any knockdowns as well. So I think the way that they were always likely to approach the last 10 minutes, I think probably was the reason for the change as much as anything. You know, if you'd have carried the same shape, then you'd have less people in midfield to deal with that that threat that was there. I get what you're saying, by the way. I mean, dropping deep, I think, is a human trait when you're hanging on to a lead, regardless. So maybe it's just a case of changing it because you know what the opposition's going
to
do.
And just coming back to what Greg said about us not fearing anyone in the playoffs. We're getting to that stage of the season now. We're going to start being cocky and say when we get to the playoffs, who would you like to face out of the current top four? Ooh. And then I'll go down to maybe Blackpool in the top eight. So you're looking at, I think, Barnsley and Luton are pretty comfortable. Maybe Barnsley might drop off and Sunderland get in the top two. But so out of Barnsley, Sunderland, Pompey, Doncaster, Peterborough and Blackpool just about. Who would you like to play, tell, and why?
Well, I'd slightly disagree with what you just said there. I think Sunderland have got a really tough running. So I don't see them overtaking Luton or Barnsley.
Barnsley have been on an amazing run.
If any of them two drop off, I think we are the team. If you look at our running, we've only really got Luton as you would call a tough fixture to come. Sunderland have got to play Portsmouth. They've got to play Doncaster. They've got to play Portsmouth again at Wembley, by the way. So, you know, their running isn't a cakewalk. Coventry as well, by the way, who are knocking on the door of the playoffs, or have been. So I don't see Sunderland's running being that great for them. I think if anybody's going to threaten the top two, it's going to be us. I mean, it's unlikely, of course. So, I don't know. I mean, you'd like to think you wouldn't be scared of anyone, home or away. Probably out of the ones that are currently there, Doncaster, I suppose, in the semis.
Nathan, if you had to pick one out of the games you've seen against them so far?
To avoid or to have?
To have, yeah.
I think Donny over two legs. But so, no, I'd have Portsmouth over two.
You wouldn't fancy Blackpool at the moment, would you? Really, well, with the crowd behind them at the moment.
Yeah, they'd have a really interesting end of the season. With their renewed supporter base as well, that could be an interesting, like we say, climax to the season for them. Nathaniel says, "Do we lose any loan players for the playoff final? Should it involve us based on the end of loans?" I don't think that would be the case. I'm fairly confident they would have be lined up to go up until the end of the playoffs. It's not Katrine here sorting out the deal, so it should be sorted now. Now, Ray Bates says, if the owner put half as much pride and passion into the club as the staff, the players and the management did yesterday, the team would be out of this league. And whereas if we put the same amount as the owner did, we'd be out of the league at the other end.
That's a fact.
Yeah, right. Tony, again, we were immense yesterday. The performance of the whole team was incredible. Standout players were Bilic, Aribo, Sarr, Bauer and Cullen. We need to be slightly more clinical in converting chances into goals. We never gave Pompey a second on the ball and we were strong all over the pitch. Yeah, first time we've scored two for a while, actually, that yesterday. Again, you'd say we could have had more. So you could argue that old chestnut that we still aren't as clinical as I imagine Lee Bay would like us to be. But hopefully now we've got a couple in the game. Hopefully we'll now start to kick on as well. Now, Robert says, best display from a Charlton side I've seen since the Premiership days. Well done to Lee Bowyer and to Jacko, which is certainly shows that we're going in the right direction. Right, Robert Middlewick says, we have absolutely no chance of keeping Aribo. He's a fantastic player who will be offered a far superior contract from a club further up the league. Shame, because he's potentially worth millions depending on when we would end up selling if he were to sign a contract. I mean, like I say, one of the many people out of contract at the end of the season. We heard from Patrick Bauer on Thursday's show and asked him about his contract situation. Even if we get promoted, he wasn't going to make any promises by any stretch of the imagination. Now, if you think about the situation with the Aribo contract that was apparently a while ago offered, then withdrawn, offered less. Hopefully it's been sorted and offered more now. But even if he's offered a fair whack of money, which he won't be under Duchatelet, you can't understand why any player, money-wise, minimum, would want to stay at Charlton.
Well, I'm guessing part of the problem is because you've got a couple of players, maybe even three, that were signed on long-term contracts at probably very good money. We don't know exactly. And one of those is alongside Patrick Bauer and playing. So if we do go up, and that'd be great, he's going to look at it and say, well, you've got to match what so-and-so's getting. And they're not going to be able to do that because there's a limit now, I'm guessing, especially if we're still owned by the current ownership. So, it's a scary time. Whether we go up or not, it's going to be scary. Who we're going to be able to re-sign, keep, or sign as new to try and replace the ones that are going. It's going to be. I'll tell you what. If they manage to pull that out of the fire, it'll be up there with the miracles of a lifetime. But it is a concern, no question.
Dan saying that he wants Pompey in the playoff semi-final, and then Sunderland at Wembley will be like 1998 all over again. Not that we're not getting ahead of ourselves, but we are definitely getting to the playoffs now, I've decided. So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing whoever at Wembley. Whoever wants to come and play us at Wembley is fine. They can join us there. Right, Cliff Scales, at last a win on TV, and what a win it was. We were fantastic from start to finish and made Pompey he looked very ordinary. The whole team played their part, but Aribo was on another level. How we keep hold of him, I don't know. Also good to see Taylor back amongst the goals. The only thing, hopefully we're not being harsh by saying this, but Portsmouth have been on a slightly dodgy run. And by slightly dodgy, I mean their win against Bradford last week, relegation threatened Bradford, was their first in 9 or 10 games.
They've only won one in 10. Four or five of those were draws. and the others were defeats. So if they keep that run going, if you know, if they don't get another win in 10, then they're not going to be in the playoffs at all.
It's funny, actually, when Kenny Jackett came in yesterday, because, I mean, I know he's at Millwall and all that, but I've always thought, actually, he's quite a good manager, what he did with Wolves as well. I always respected him as a manager. But sat in his press conference yesterday, it didn't inspire me or anything. Like, if I was a Portsmouth fan listening to that, I don't think I really would have heard any of the excuses and thought, yeah, no, that's fair enough. He sounded a little bit, I don't know, like he'd run out of ideas a little bit.
I think that's his character anyway. He's not he's not one of, he hasn't got that demeanour about him generally, I don't think. Comes across sometimes as too nice, I suppose.
Yeah, he does come across as nice, way too nice to be a former Millwall manager. That's true. Certainly. But like I say, a manager I've always respected, but there's just something about yourself, I don't know, it just felt a bit flat when he came into the press conference after the game. Tom Bramley says, "We were brilliant yesterday. Other than their goal and the miss late on, we didn't give them a sniff. If I were Boyer, I'd be getting a rebound to sign on the dotted line first thing Monday morning." You can see why others are interested in him when he puts in performances like that. I'm sure if it was up to Lee Bowyer as well, if he was allowed to physically grab Joe by the wrist and force his hand onto the piece of paper, he would do so. But obviously, it's I mean, the terms that we offer him are going to be the sticking point. And even then, you know, he might think, well, even if we offer him decent terms, if there's a Championship club minimum offering him something better, or even the same wages, but in the Championship, he'd be tempted, wouldn't he?
The point is, where we are as a club and the ownership, even if he signs a contract, it's still no guarantee that he's still going to be with us next season, because if he signs a contract and then somebody bids for him, then we'll probably accept it.
We don't even know who the manager's going to be next year.
£50 and a packet of sherbet dip-dabs.
You know, we don't even know who the manager's going to be. I mean, for Joe, if you got on well with Boyer and he's not committed yet, well, why would you commit to something if you don't know who's going to be here?
Excellent point. Right, Ev Jones, brilliant performance yesterday. Keep this up and we will be top two. I've always said it that we would. No reason why we can't if we stay injury free and red card free. It will be a tantalising finish. I think the only reason why we're ruling it out is because there's 10 games left and it's a 10-point gap that we need to overhaul. And it's a Barnsley side who haven't lost in about 17, 18 games now. A Sunderland team who've got a game on us in advantage. Portsmouth at this rate, I imagine, will be finishing above, it would seem. But yeah, I think the only reason now, it would be quite interesting to have worked out, you know, if you look at that 4 or 5 games where we dropped a few points, if we hadn't had that disruption of Carlin leaving and we'd been able to continue the form we'd shown after that little Christmas wobble where we got that great point off Sunderland, we had a brilliant result against Shrewsbury, if we had kept Carlin, you know, we really would have been in with a shot, I think. And that's so it's just bizarre how you go from one week to another playing well and then all of a sudden Roland just, you know, pops over from Belgium, just going to press the self-destruct button quickly, lads, and then he's off on his way again. I mean, it's such a shame because, you know, we really were getting up a little bit of a head of steam just after Christmas there.
Yeah, and I think that's what the disappointing thing when Carlin left, because everyone knew we was all in a good place. We had two strikers on form. We knew we had a good midfield and we'd keep creating. We were dangerous. And that, you know, that top two was always an option. And then I think now, ever since, you know, he came over and, like you say, pressed the self-destruct button, there's no, I'm not being disingenuous to any of the other players, but we have had to change our way of playing, like Tel said earlier, and you can tell. And it's only, and we had that little wobble, and it's only like now we're starting to get back into the groove again. And it, I think, like you say, 10 points is that's like, what, Barnsley losing more than a third of their games or whatever, you know what I mean? It's a lot of games to lose for them.
Yeah, I mean, you consider that since Carlos left, we've drawn three. We're looking at Southend, Blackpool and Doncaster. You'd have almost bet us to win those games with an undisrupted side and Carlo Grant playing. So that's 6 points. That puts us, on 69? So we're only 4 points then away from Barnsley instead of 10. And that's just a two-game switch, isn't it?
Crazy how we do these things to ourselves. John Ellis says, "I felt we were immense. Haven't seen the stadium that loud for many years. I just hope we can carry on for the rest of the campaign." Tony, I've already had that one. Michael Broad said, "A great performance by every player. Fully deserved the win. Now on to Tuesday. Come on, you Reds." Connor says, "Probably the best performance I've seen this season. Every player worked their socks off for the 3 points last night. Really showed control of the game." Yeah, I wonder, is it up there as one of the best? Because I'll say, you look at that Barnsley game here at the Valley when we beat him by 2-0. I remember at the time saying to Bowie that was probably the best performance of the season at the time. It's a very different, as we said, performance to what we got in some of those games earlier on in the season, where we would look so quick and so dangerous on the break. It was just one of this total domination, which, again, it's not something you're that used to against another side in the top six, but we've done it the last 2 weeks, really, and yeah, performances are certainly back on the up. Now, David Nichols says, fabulous, although as ever, it was nerve at the end with only a goal lead. He's hoping the injuries don't reoccur with a vengeance, and as we looked top draw, Aribo especially. Darren also says, one of the best and most satisfying performances of the season. The boys gave their all and got exactly what they deserved, which was 3 points. He also adds, what an atmosphere. Ollie said, it was one of the best nights at the Valley in the last few years. The atmosphere was insane. The players show they can turn up to a big occasion. Aribo was class, the way he kept winning the ball back. Billick was brilliant as well, before he was dancing in that midfield. He also says that hope he's not injured for too long, because his range of passing is just brilliant. That's Christian Billick there. Charlton Exile, fantastic performance yesterday, almost had me believing. Well, it's got, it obviously takes a lot to get Charlton Exile believing. I mean, I reckon Charlton Exile now, if you asked him, he'll definitely think we'll stay up. Vital Charlton, unbelievable atmosphere yesterday. I got crushed by my cousins when the second went in, but it was all worth it. Vital Charlton definitely living the dream there. He was at Bowyer's press conference during the week, and he still gets to be acting like a fan like that as well. He must have had a cracking week there, Vital Charlton. Well done to you and the fan. Your Miller, 3 matches, 8 points. If we win on Tuesday as well, I'm going to find it tough to go home. I have faith this team is far better than last year's playoff team. Yes, and Nathaniel's been over from Ohio for the last three games and undefeated since then. Is there any way that we could sort of crowdfund for him to move to England?
Kidnap would be cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be well up for that as well. And Martin says, you can't leave us now, Ron, our unbeaten run with you here, talking to Nathaniel there. Right, let's have a listen to one of our fan interviews. Like I said, so I went into the Royal Oak yesterday, embarrassed myself in front of everyone, but I eventually managed to get Liam to come and do an interview with us. So the brief was, I was told we want to get some real Charlton fans on this podcast that BBC are apparently going to do at some point. But Liam was so good, I thought I've got to play him on Charlton Live as well. I wanted to find out how the fans are reacting to, of course, what's happened over the last few weeks with Roland du Châtelet, how he was feeling about the performances over the last few weeks, where he thinks we're going to finish. But first of all, when I was speaking to Liam Anderson, he was sort of telling me what he made of Roland du Châtelet's recent outbursts.
I think a lot of fans, including myself now, it's got to the point now we've realised he has completely lost it. It's got to the point now where if he wants rid of it, then he's got to do something about it himself. Personally, I think Charlton fans want it gone, and you know, it's got to the point now where we don't mind who it goes to. But in terms of him himself, he just has to go. If he wants it gone and he's getting offers, you know, if he is getting offers left, right and centre, then he has to be proactive and get it gone. It's as simple as that, really.
I mean, obviously, he made the headlines with that demand that the EFL took the club off him. I mean, from a personal point of view, that doesn't really seem to make much sense. As a Charlton fan, how did you feel when you see your own club putting that sort of statement on their own website?
It's just embarrassing, isn't it? I mean, if you get friends with any football fan. You know, you get fans from, you know, Millwall, anywhere. They're laughing at a club. You're laughing at our club, and it's embarrassing. It's just not the Charlton way, because we used to be a club famed for the way we used to get run, and you know, the sort of example that we set in terms of Premier League clubs, you know, a good 10, 15 years ago. And now looking at us, it's just not the same club anymore, and it's embarrassing in terms of the way it's being run at the minute, and you can't really see it stopping at the moment until he goes.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the damage that's happened over the last 4 years in terms of the relegation, the crowds sort of being cut by almost 40% in some cases. I mean, how far do you think this could go if he doesn't leave at some point in the near future?
I mean, like I say, we see Card come out and saying about the boycotts next season until he decides what he's doing with season tickets and stuff like that. I think you will still always get a core Charlton support. I mean, like I say, you know, you're interviewing me in a pub at the minute. You know, you will always get people in there, prepared to come out and have a drink with their mates on a Saturday as what it is as a social event. But in terms of moving forward, it's very, very, very difficult as it is right now. But I still think, you know, the support for the club and the love of the club will always win through, despite who's running it and despite what's going on and off the pitch.
Do you think he's holding the playing side back as well? Because, I mean, outsiders will look at a Charlton team in the top six going well under Lee Bowyer. If he had behaved differently, do you think they could be further up the table? Or do you think Bowyer would have been able to achieve this either way?
I think what I say, you look at last season, you look at this season, we've always been in and around the playoffs, and you know, yeah, you don't know where, you know, where you'd be without, you know, it's, you know, hindsight or whatever you like to call it, it's a wonderful thing. But in terms of, as of right now, as a club, I'm happy with where we are. I think there are teams that are a little bit beyond us in terms of ability, or maybe in terms of structure. In Sunderland being a massive club, you know, I think you'd expect them to be up there and stuff like that. But in terms of who we are and what we're about, we are a big club in this league. And you know, Boya, as many other people have said, he's doing an unbelievable job in the circumstances he's got. Whether he could do more in terms of other bosses, I don't know. You don't know the support he'd get in terms of money, in terms of structure. But for what he's doing, it, you know, bearing in mind his contract's running down, you know, it's working wonders. But I think having that fan favourite as well, in terms of the fans, in terms of the club, always helps. But yeah, I think the owner, you know, it all comes down to the fact that the variable that's causing the issue is the owner.
And I mean, we're talking ahead of the Portsmouth game, but as I said, in a comfortable position in the playoffs, how do you see the rest of this season going?
I mean, if we stick in and around the playoffs, I think it'd be a very successful season. I still stand by the fact that I think we've got one of the most creative midfields in the league, easily. It's a shame about Grant going, because it seems since he's gone that the goals have dried up a little bit. But in terms of chances, I still think we are creating. I think our defence has really stood up and been counted over the last couple of weeks, really, because of the way that we've had to defend and the way we've had to rely on 1-0s and 2-1s and stuff like that. But I still think that we'll be in and around the playoffs come May, and then who knows after that.
What were we saying?
Smith alongside me said he should line up for these opportunities.
Well, you know, maybe Sarr can hit them.
Josh Cullen is the other option. It's about
four yards
from the edge of the penalty here. Nabi Sarr to take. Sarr over it. Over it is.
Oh!
Nabi Sarr!
Nabi Sarr! Oh, yes!
We've been looking for a free kick hero, and it comes in the way of Nabi Sarr. Everyone's going to claim they said it, but the Cheltenham man, the centre-half, with a great free kick. The goalkeeper was stood and couldn't do anything about it, and Cheltenham have the equaliser.
Welcome back to Cheltenham Live here on Maritime Radio. Just heard from Liam Anderson there, Cheltenham fan. Always good to get the views of other Addicts fans on here as well. And yeah, he spoke really well, as Dan's saying there. He says, nice one from this old git. Dan's not going to let that go, really. I feel so bad about that.
No, you don't.
Liam spoke really well there. I think he displayed a view that many hold as well about the situation. Good on the pitch, bad off it, basically, to sum it up nicely. But yeah, cheers to Liam for that. Thanks for talking to us. I've been waiting for this tweet all day. Brian Cole, who, as many of you may know, lives down in Portsmouth, and his wife is a Pompey fan, as is, I imagine, her entire family. Says, I'd just like to thank all the heroes in red yesterday. They made it a miserable day for my wife and mother-in-law in the away end. I hope to be back in the house by tomorrow. judging by how much Brian was telling me he was going to annoy his wife by the time he got home yesterday, I can imagine it might even take slightly longer, of course. Right, don't forget, we've still got Tuesday's game with Burton Albion to look ahead to. We're still going to hear from Jacko, who's a Cheltenham fan who comes over from Amsterdam, which is, he's got one great line in that interview. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I really look forward to playing that for you as well. We've got your emails and a few messages to chat about as well. I just want to bring attention, though, to the fact that on Tuesday evening, before the Burton Albion game, Team Addicts, the lot of us who are cycling over to Amsterdam in the summer, will be doing a bucket collection outside the ground before the game. So if you see any of them, including our very own Nathan Muller, give generously, because obviously it all goes to a great cause, and we're trying to raise as much money as possible for Prostate Cancer UK. So make sure you give generously to them. Wednesday evening here at the Valley, it's Charlton Athletic versus Millwall in the women's game. So the Charlton women versus the Millwall Lionesses. We beat them 8-0 away when we played them earlier on in the season. Charlton still challenging for those top two places. Not going to be easy, but they're still got an outside chance. So I'm going to be down here on Tuesday, hopefully Terry too. So come along and support the girls. They deserve your support. They've had a brilliant first season in the Championship. So that's here at the Valley on Wednesday evening. So you can come down here twice, Tuesday against Burton for the men's team, Wednesday against Millwall, both games to look forward to, big games I'm looking forward to as well. Well, let's get on to the emails. James Franklin emails saying, "Hi guys, got to watch the game from my sofa in Alabama yesterday, and what a fantastic performance it was from the entire Charlton squad. Too many good performances to mention them all, and an overall work rate that Bowyer himself would have been proud of as a player. We need to start seeing off games though. Maintaining that work rate every 90 minutes up until the end of the season and into the playoffs will be incredibly tough. There have simply been too many last minute saves, blocks, scrambles and goals recently. We must make that midfield dominance count. Keep up the great work on the show. It's a vital resource for us global addicts." Well, that's brilliant, James, thanks for that. Why aren't we clinical, Naif? Why have we never been clinical as Charlton Athletic Football Club ever in our entire 125 whatever year history? What year is it now?
I was going to say, apart from
13 year history.
14. It's nothing new, is it? But I think we'll do it Tuesday. But apart from that, I don't really know why. I was trying to think yesterday night, the last time we absolutely battered someone, and I can only think of MK Dons at home, but surely we've beaten someone, like smashed someone since then. But
MK Dons at home, what, the 5-0 in like 2011 you're talking about?
I thought it was later than that. Maybe then. But I can't think. We never really like smash anyone.
Stevenage away.
Yeah, of course. Duh. I was there, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We've always had players, though, haven't we? We've had a decent strikers, but we've never apart from this season, we have the ones before, maybe not so. But yeah, I don't really know, because we never really. Is it something that when we go like yesterday, we try and protect our lead a little bit? Maybe, I don't know, but. I think, I agree with Bose. I think we're going to have one by the end of this year. I think Tuesday might be one.
Saving out for Wembley.
In a playoff final, that'll do it.
Saving out for Wembley against Sunderland after we've beat Portsmouth in the semi-finals.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Just talking about how we're going for the top six in the Championship next year. Right, Mark Newbury. Evening, folks. What a game. Finally, we show how we can actually play and do ourselves justice on the telly. Yes, Pompey had a couple of chances, which they fluffed, but our class showed, and there wasn't a weak link from 1 to 11. The commentators purring over Aribo and almost trying to sell him to any bidder was interesting, but he was head and shoulders above anyone else. There won't be many teams watching that who will fancy their chances in the playoffs, and if we can avoid a serious injury to the key players, it all looks good. Now to keep going. Tuesday, with maybe a couple of fresh legs, not Fosu, who looks like he knows Bowyer doesn't want him next season. Cheers to... cheers from Mark and the boys. Interesting comment about Fosu. I mean, did he come on yesterday?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? What did you make of him? Because obviously he's been a bit... I literally couldn't remember he came on, so that's not a good sign. But, I mean, I think there was a couple of times he ran out with the ball late on and won a couple of free kicks, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think so. And he looked lively when he's come on. I think some of the games, especially recently... We have to have a structure about us, which includes the way we play the diamond, always somebody at the base, and the style of players we need, especially yesterday when Bowie was saying we need a more physical approach. I don't think that's Tariq's game, and he's probably suffering as a result of that. If there's a choice, therefore, with Tariq, you have to drop Johnny Williams or Ben Reeves on that right side, or Joe Aribo, I suspect, and that's not likely at the minute. So I think he's probably suffering because of that, and that, not necessarily his fault, but he got injured back end of last season. We had to restructure because of that. He got injured again this season, didn't he, at the beginning, the early part? So they just perhaps the club just saw the management feel is other people are in front of him.
Mm. Right, Phil Cullum says, hi guys, wow, just wow. A fantastic team performance by the boys. Very hard to pick a man of the match for me, both Aribo and Cullen jointly. Can see why Pompey have dropped off the place. They were very average. Can we have them in the playoffs, please? In Aribo, we're seeing a Premier League player in the making. Unfortunately for us, if he doesn't sign a contract, he's gone. And if he does, he's gone. And Duchatelet will trouser the transfer fee to offset his losses, unless our banker friend comes to the rescue. Obviously, yeah, that bid that was talked about in the Evening Standard and the Voice of the Valley and Charlton Life was made by by a banker a few weeks ago. So yeah, we don't know who that is. Right, Ollie's pointing out that we smashed Northampton twice, 4-0 and 4-1 last year. Course. So possibly, yeah. And Dan's asking what the score was when McGuinness got his hat trick against Bristol Rovers. That was a 4-1 as well. So yeah, so we've had a few big ones.
Didn't we tank Bristol Rovers away as well?
Yeah, 5-1. Yeah, that was just why in between. Slade and Robinson, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when Robbo was in a car park with Peter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so we have handed out a few. We have handed out a few, but we need one this year, really, don't we, to keep us happy. Right, Super Clive on the Charlton Life Forum says, Joe Aribo is reminiscent of Paul Mortimer, and Josh Cullen reminded me of Matty Holland. Agree with that? I mean, you would have seen Morts play a bit more than I did, actually, Tell, because he was ever so slightly before my time, I think, in terms of my actual memory of games. Morts and Aribo similar?
That's not a bad shout, actually.
Both very good with their feet, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. I'd say Morts was... Morts a tad shorter, I think. So, but that's a decent shout, that, I think. Mm. I think, from memory at least, Morts probably weighed in with a few more goals. Had a better shot on him. But Joe probably better with his feet.
Yeah. Right, I've got another interview to play you yesterday. I was excited to come down to the ground yesterday because I knew I was going to speak Jacko. Meet Jacko, who comes over from Holland to watch the games 4, 5, 6, 7 times a year. He's one of those strange ones where you get a foreign fan who has an affinity with the club. And the funniest thing about this was once I was done doing the interview with Jacko, I then met a guy called Lucas who came over from Brazil to watch the Addicts. He was brilliant. I asked Lucas how he got into it, and it was a classic answer. He was playing as Cheltenham Football Manager, enjoyed it so much that he started coming over. And this time he'd bought his family, who I don't think had ever seen, who had ever been more baffled than when this guy started talking to me, trying to work out who the hell I was. But it was nice to meet the pair of them. And Jacko, I had a quick chat with to find out how he first got involved with coming over from Holland to watch the Addicts.
Well, the first time I get over was on invitation. I got ticket from Phil Parkinson in 2009.
All right.
And I was in those years, I was interviewing all players from my team in Holland, Heracles. And we had a young Dennis player at Charlton, Martin Christensen. And I think he never get to the first half for first team, but I had an interview here. But the tickets, Phil Parkinson gave me the tickets in Reading at the game Reading against Watford. Yeah. So it was coincidence.
Yeah, and what is it that makes you keep coming back to Charlton over all these years then?
The family, camaraderie. I think I saw 15 stadiums in England. And in London, Arsenal, Spurs, it's not football anymore. It's not typical English football. It's full of tourists who want to see typical English football, but it is not typical. You must smell the piss. That is typical English football. The kick and rush. So the lower divisions, Championship, I think, is the best division. And that's why I'm coming over.
And of course, you hang around with some well-known faces. Like everyone knows Mads down at Charlton. Is it people like that keep you coming back as well?
Ah, of course, Mads is my wingman. Mads comes over to Amsterdam now to see me in Holland, and he's my best wingman. Yeah. in the tour of Ireland, pre-season tour Ireland, we were very good wingmen, and we needed each other there.
And how often do you come over to see Charlton play then?
I try between 7 and 10 games in a season, and sometimes a away game. This year I had Sunderland, and I do the Gills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you think the season's gone so far on the field of play?
I think I saw a couple of very good games, but they are not stable. They are not stable. They have good periods and then bad periods. if the good players are a little bit more stable, I think they play top two or three maybe.
And of the players you've seen this season for Charlton, have you got a favourite?
Pierce. Can I get a shirt of him?
Jason Pierce.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll have to try and ask
yeah,
him.
Try and ask
yeah,
him.
Yeah, well, now I'll send him this interview and you can yeah. see. So, again, English football in particular, in which ways is it different to Dutch football, is it quite similar?
English football is spoiled by the big money, and that's why the Premier League is not interesting for me to watch. It's totally spoiled. When Ajax beat Real Madrid Wednesday, they beat them 1-4. Gareth Bale earns more money than all the players of Ajax together, and that's also a lack. That's a problem for the English football because the English national team is not doing well for 30 years because there are too many foreigners playing in this country, earn big money, and. Yeah, and a couple of them don't do well. Lots of them don't do well.
And, of course, another big thing about the English culture of football, and particularly Charlton, is the pubs around the area. Which one's your favourite in SE7?
In SE7, yeah, I think the Bugle. Yeah.
Yeah. And is this going to be your last one this season, or are you going to come back when we get to Wembley in the playoff final?
Well, that is a good one. last year, we had a big and expensive holiday in America, and so we decided this year to keep it calm. So if they reach the playoffs, I think, well...
You got to come.
Yeah, I've got to come over, yeah.
And Pompey today, how do you see us getting on?
Yeah, I had a bet for 2-0.
Yeah, excellent.
Not for Pompey.
No, yeah, for Charlton, of course. Yeah.
There we go, Jacko there, explaining why he loves English football. And I think it's a sentiment we all share. It's just the stench of piss everywhere is the reason I keep coming back.
Absolutely.
And it's the same for Jacko as well. I think he meant it's the real experience, which I think he was getting on. But yeah, great, Jacko. I've met him a couple
and
of
piss.
Times. Yeah, he loves it. Like I say, hangs around with Mads, unless Mads smells of piss.
Yeah, it might be Mads. Yeah.
I'll give him a proper sniff next time I see him. Right, I think we should start looking ahead because we're into the last 7 minutes. Although, just quick tweet from Bob Liskin actually says, "Evening, boys. Difficult to criticise that performance. Although, if I had to, I'd say our fullbacks didn't play that well. With regards to the noise level, I think I'd have to take earmuffs if there was 20,000 people there. So, fullbacks, you're harsh on Dick Steele and Purrington. Purrington, the man who lost his man for the header. Dick Steele." Caught in possession a couple of times, but I thought he was getting forward well at times in that first half.
I thought Anthony did superbly. Did he have a faultless game? No, probably not. Ben Purrington is a strange one because he does a lot of work that you don't notice, I think, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. But yeah, he held his hands up, and I think everybody's got to agree that you know it was his man that got the goal. So therefore, in that case, you'd say he failed a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think it just gives us a balance. Ben Purrington, yeah. He doesn't bomb forward as much as Lewis Page used to, but he gives us that balance on the left side, and I'd rather him be there than not.
I think a lot of people do try and when you look at the two fullbacks we have in, you know, Jada Silva before and Lewis Page, they were attacking minded fullbacks, whereas Ben's been brought in not to do that. Ben's, like Tell said, to keep the balance, and Wally Down said he'll give you a 7 out of 10 every week, which he has, really, to be fair to him. And he's not. You know, you can when he gets the ball, you know he's not going to take anyone on and, you know, whip a ball in. But, you know, he just gets the job done. It wasn't his best game yesterday, but, yeah, I agree. I thought Anthony'd done all right. I think he had a little bit of a shaky start, and then he seemed to get coming grow into the game.
Right. First ever visit to the Valley, I think, for Burton Albion. I should have checked that before staying it. But, yeah, first visit certainly in a league game for Burton Albion. I've got a feeling we played him in the cup here, actually. Beat him 7-0, if I'll double-check that. But, yeah, big game Tuesday. Chance to extend our unbeaten run here at the Valley to 13 games. And, I mean, with all the tired bodies there must be after that game yesterday. And Burton actually have almost a 24-hour advantage on us because they played Coventry on Friday night, getting a very good 2-1 win away at the Rico Arena. Tough game, and it, you know, with those tired legs and those couple of probable injuries, it's going to be tough to get going again. But you just hope there's that crest of the wave that we're going to be riding on, I guess, Nath.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously, I think I don't know how he's going to play it. I don't know if Prattley will come in. Hopefully, he'll play Reeves and Fosu. I'd like to see a bit more attacking than not Prattley, but we'll see. But yeah, I think it's a good. I think we're going to win comfortably on Tuesday. I don't know why. Hopefully, it's with these 4-5 nilers. But I think like you said, we're riding the crest of the wave. You know, the mood's going to be high. We're playing well. We're at home again. We're under the lights again. We know we can. We just got to keep winning our games, and I think it'll be a good little performance from us. Hopefully,
it's an interesting one for me because Burton away, they absolutely battered us. I mean, they really battered us. Probably in terms of the games this season, it's probably the most one-sided game I'd seen. And how we came away with anything from that game is still a mystery to me. So it's going to be an interesting one for me because they're going to look at it and think, well, hold on, this is what we did to them at our place. Mm. We can do it again. So we're going to have to play well, no question about it.
Yeah, Burton sitting down in 11th. I think they've they're 8 points shy of the playoff places. I think they probably would be imagining that their season's pretty much over now. Of course, had that great cup run. Which ended at the hands of Manchester City. The only one, their win at Burton was their first in five. They've been very patchy with a lot of draws recently. Only two defeats in the last 10 or 12 there, but mainly draws. So it could be a team possibly coming here to try and make it difficult for us, as we'd expect.
I think that's fair. I'm surprised you don't remember their visit here, their last visit here, 1956.
7-0?
7-0.
Yeah, I did, yeah. So I was right. So it was up there somewhere. Yeah.
1956
How
it was.
How old
was
you then?
Shut it. Yeah. I was 18.
Yeah. That was Terry's first game. That was Terry's first game on the senior citizen discount, that was, yeah.
You say that every time
on a travel
you
card.
You've got to stop saying the years because we're going to say the same joke.
I think,
That would have been in the FA Cup that game, wouldn't it?
It was.
So hopefully we'll repeat that scoreline. Man City outdone us there, were they 9-0 then, yeah, didn't they? Trying to take the Mickey out of us. So Nathan, I know Terry will never do a prediction, but if you, I'm going to put you on the spot because you love being put on the spot.
3-0.
3-0 to
us.
Who says 3-0? Come on, be like a normal football fan.
3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've said Eagle's going to score every week now, but Eagle will score Tuesday.
At some point,
he'll come off the bench and score.
At some point, he's got to score. Right. Frankie Collins tweets in, said that he met Jacko at Luton away this season. What a legend! The fan who comes over from Holland to smell the urine in English football. He's a proper good guy. Like, so I've met him a couple of times, and I can see how, especially you hang around with Mads, how you can get caught up in the excitement of English football culture. He was telling me after the game they're going for a Chinese as well. So he was dispelling out my perfect Saturday afternoon, if I'm being totally honest. So yeah, great to hear from him on tonight's show. Great to hear, of course, from Liam, who we spoke to earlier, Lee Bowyer, and from yourself, because we have come to the end of this evening's Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who joined us. A brilliant performance and victory over Portsmouth here at the Valley yesterday, and really enjoyable to talk about it again on this evening's show. Thanks to Nathan and to Terry for coming in.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, thank you.
Thanks for spending your Sunday evening with us, everyone who's listened all the way to the end. Thanks for your tweets, your emails and whatnot. Hope you've enjoyed it. I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. Another game here on Tuesday at the Valley against Burton. Don't forget Wednesday evening against Millwall Lionesses for the Charlton Athletic women's team, and then we'll be back here on Thursday evening to look back at that Burton game, and of course to look ahead to the game against Bristol Rovers next week. Thanks for listening. We shall see you on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.